me?
Yes, now I can hear you. How are you, Sue? Keeping well?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, that's good. Sue, we're talking about strokes, and we thought that a good topic to be is how to handle a stroke. And maybe you can enlighten us, because it's something that affects a person at any time and anywhere. So how can we definitely tell if a person has just had a stroke?
It's a very, very good thing to know, Zuleika. And they say that the faster you can get the patient to hospital care, you can actually save irreversible damage from happening.
Yes.
As in, a stroke shuts off the oxygen to the brain.
Okay.
So when you've got somebody who you suspect has had a stroke, it would, in some cases, be after a fall or after a shock or after a meal or something that's changed, and then they've reacted to that. But the moment the brain cells start to die, the brain doesn't function as it should. And one of the things you pick up is that the body functions become asymmetrical.
Yes.
So you can't get them to raise both their hands up at the same time. And one of them you can say, stick out your tongue, stick out your tongue. If they can't pull out a straight tongue at you and falls to the one side, it's a sign that there's something wrong with the brain. And another basic one is to smile.
Okay.
And if they can't turn up both sides of the mouth, you know, to smile, there's a problem. And then the other one they say is to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to talk a sentence like, my name is something, or today it is sunny. And if they can't do that and they just speak gibberish and slur their speech. You see, the sad thing is, if someone just had a stroke, it's as if they are drunk or they're under the influence of some sort of a drug, mind-altering substance. Because that also affects the brain, but only temporarily. But with the stroke, the moment the oxygen doesn't get to the brain cells, they begin to die.
Okay.
So if you're not sure, rather quickly phone up the emergency service and say, I've got someone here, I suspect there's something wrong with the brain, because they've just hit their head on the floor.
Then
he fell down off the stairs. That sort of thing, you must immediately rush them to the hospital. Don't even doubt it.
Okay. So say, for instance, why you said that it's very, very important because it cuts off the oxygen supply. And, of course, medical help generally within 3 hours is needed to actually help the patient for full recovery. Is that true?
That is true. You know, there's not very much first aid you can do on your own. It's not a thing of, like, splinting up a hurt bone or stopping the bleeding or whatever. The oxygen's got to get to the brain. And if it's not getting to the brain, there's trouble.
Okay.
Things are going to start shutting down and getting hurt.
Okay. So if an ambulance come through, then they are going to give them oxygen immediately.
Absolutely.
While they're
yeah.
taking them to
over the
hospital.
And whether it reaches that area of the brain or not, I think the more the merrier.
Okay. What I was going to say is, you know, sometimes with the public hospitals, you attended to very late. And is there anything else that we can do, you know, while there's that waiting period of something?
I would suggest prayer and togetherness. And it's not easy to get that oxygen where it should be if there's an injury. I'm not quite sure how to deal with it surgically. My memory isn't that good. You know, when I wrote the book Healthy, Happy Heart, I devoted a whole chapter to strokes.
Yes.
And the more we know about them, the better, but there are overlapping symptoms as well.
Okay. So I had come across a Chinese thing saying that have a needle, and if someone has a stroke, then look at the fingers and pierce the fingers with the needle so that some blood rushes out. And I don't know how that's going to help, but that's what they feel that is going to help.
Well, that would start to diagnose which type of stroke.
Okay.
Because we do have to go into detail about the two different types of strokes. People are so afraid of the blood clotting.
Yes.
And blocking the little blood vessels in the brain, and then the brain doesn't get the oxygen. So if you prick their finger and the blood flowed freely out of the finger, this is a fantastic diagnostic technique of that your blood is flowing well.
Okay.
That there are no clots.
Sue, you did say there are different types of strokes. And apart from a blow to the head, how are they caused?
Some of them are as a result of medications you take, believe it or not.
Yes.
The things that alter your blood clotting factors play a tremendous role in making you more vulnerable to a stroke. So if your blood vessels are thin and there's a lot of inflammation in your body and you suddenly raise the blood pressure and your blood is in on a blood thinner, the little blood vessels in the brain with the extra high pressure will burst and droplets of blood start to leak into the brain. And anything within the brain tissue, it's a very protected environment. It's very toxic to brain cells. So although the blood has to reach the brain, if it goes out of the blood vessels and it leaks into the brain tissue, it can kill it. So if the blood vessel bursts and the blood flows into the brain, it can also cause a stroke. So the diagnostic of prick your finger, let's see if your blood flow, you could be very right or you could be very wrong. And that depends, as you said, on the different type of stroke. The one formed by a blood clot and the other formed by blood that is too thin that has leaked out of a blood vessel. But either way, if you're in doubt, if the person isn't their normal self and they haven't been drinking alcohol or they're not on some kind of, I don't know, these glue sniffing and crazy drugs these days also do that to the brain. But if it's somebody you know who doesn't do any of that sort of stuff, don't take a chance. You don't have much time to play with.
Okay, now, sometimes, as you said, when somebody hurts their heads or get concussed, how do we know it's not a stroke? Because, I mean, some of us and kids always fall down, you know, so often.
Back on either side, throw some water on them. Maybe they've swooned or fainted or they're what we call punch drunk.
Yes.
And I think the easiest way to come to grips with this is to watch a boxing fight.
Yes.
You know, and those people pound each other on the heads.
Yes.
Most amazing amount of blows they take to the head.
Mm-hmm.
Until the big one, you know, when they give him a last little right uppercut and he goes flying to the floor.
Yeah.
It's maybe not so much from the punch, but he fell backwards and he hit his head on the ground.
Okay.
You know, and then they do this macabre thing of counting. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
Hello, are you home? Are you home? Whoops, he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Are those people going to quickly rush them to the emergency room?
They don't.
I reckon the boxers have got pretty thick skulls.
Mm-hmm. Well, Muhammad Ali had Alzheimer's, I think. Well, no, Parkinson.
Yes, again, you know, people don't know the thin dividing line from that. But the major cause of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, it can increase the degenerative, slow, on-creeping adult age-related brain dementia. But Muhammad Ali, it is controversial, and some people will say definitely that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Parkinson's, I'm very familiar with the condition. It's been a case history that I've studied for years. And by changing the nutrition and mostly it's due to a deficiency of vitamin B6 and other nutrients that help to make the dopamine.
Yeah.
So if you're hitting somebody on the head, you're not suddenly going to knock the dopamine out of the head.
Yes.
I don't believe that. But the symptoms he came up with, where he had tremors in his hands and his speech was slurred and he was jerking around and almost semi-paralyzed from time to time, it's showing it did affect the dopamine, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But often you find that these if they suddenly say, aha, Parkinson's,
yeah.
Clever doctors, and mm-hmm. they give the drug, it is a side effect of giving too much of the drug that can actually cause a disease like Parkinson's. And I've been personally involved with such a case history, where by giving nutrients and stepping down on the drug, the major symptoms of Parkinson's suddenly disappeared. The person didn't have it anymore. They didn't have it in the first place. But that's the dopamine pathways. When it comes to a stroke, it's going to depend on what area of the brain was damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And that left hip, that simulates, I believe, out of that. Mm-hmm. So people there, who are suffering with people who've had a stroke, it is not a dead-end alley at all.
Okay. So the blood pressure, sometimes if someone has the blood pressure is very high, then they say, no, your blood pressure is high, so you can get a stroke.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. It's the blood pressure combined in one case with blood that's too thin and lots of inflammation in the human body. The main cause are hormones. You've got your cortisol. Then you add lots of fibrinogen and cortisol to your blood so that if you cut yourself, you're not going to bleed to death. Now, that's it. It's going to make it thick and viscous. And then the blood cannot flow to the fine capillaries and into the brain. And if it gets severely thick and clotted, it'll even start clotting along the arteries that connect into the brain, that supply the brain, the carotid artery, for instance. If you get a big clot there, you've really had it. You're going to lose a lot of your brain function. So the thick blood, the high blood pressure, that's how it would be done. But the high blood pressure with thin, very, very viscous blood can cause the bleeding, the leaky blood vessels. It's equally dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not too thick and not too thin, but just right.
And what's the solution to that, to just have it just right?
To have it just right, you've got to make sure that you are not on hormones that are going to push your levels of cortisone and estrogen too high.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why they say women on, you know, going through menopause who are on the HRT, you know, the hormone replacements for estrogen, get more strokes, they get more heart attacks than women who aren't on HRT. And the reason is that the estrogen, one of its primary functions is to make the blood thick and able to clot well. So there you have it. Do you need that amount of estrogen when you've had your children? No, you don't. Should you replace it? No, you shouldn't. So that's something you've got to look at, the fine balance between if you want your blood to clot that much. The other one, and I suppose I'm vulnerable for that, you know, when you eat lots of ginger and omega-3 oils and things that make your blood very thin and you have your olive leaves every day, your blood flows through every little blood vessel and it flows beautifully. It's thin, thin, slippery thin as a result of taking these natural things. You must know that your little blood vessels are also very, very strong and elastic and flexible and able to take the differences in blood pressure. So should your blood pressure go up temporarily because of a bit of adrenaline, you're getting up cross, you're getting upset or whatever, there's high blood pressure, lots of blood, but it's not going to burst through the blood vessel wall. So it all comes down to the basic steps we take to maintain good cardiovascular health. And if by now you haven't read my book or, like in my case, reread my book, The Healthy, Happy Heart, I suggest you go to our homepage, have a look there where you can order yourself a copy because it's got just about everything I've ever discovered about how the heart works, how the body works, how to stay healthy and happy. It's a lifetime of research in there, and you can order it directly from there as a reference base.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came to Zuleika saying, let's talk about strokes, well, there's a whole chapter on everything that happens and what to do about it. And it's not as frightening as you think. If you've already maintained your cardiovascular health, you've maintained your blood sugar, we've got this condition we all have now called Syndrome X, the metabolic syndrome. That makes you a sitting duck for a stroke. It helps your blood to clot it. You've got the wrong fats in your body. And also high blood sugar in the veins. It causes inflammation. It makes the blood vessels red and burny and very fragile. And it's to the degree that you've got inflammation that you're going to be vulnerable to a stroke. In most cases, it's the inflammation that's going to get you in the end. Even if you rush to hospital and all the rest, they'll put you on anti-inflammatories. They'll stabilize you and they'll send you home. But if you carry on doing what you normally do, you know, just one more cream cake and just another 2 extra spoons of sugar in the tea and coffee and stress about this and stress about that, don't do your exercise, don't take your omega-3 oils, you can easily have another stroke. It's not because you've had one, you're not going to get another one. And the same goes for your heart attacks and things. You've got to actually consciously change the way you live, the way you think, the way you act. And it's not easy to recover fully from a stroke. It's much easier to prevent it.
So to just recap, preventive, we should ensure that our high blood sugar is controlled
to prevent everything.
Inflammation, your pressure.
And there are advantages to that. So the healthier you are and the more supplements you take instead of medications, the less vulnerable you are to a stroke. And we can't say that strokes run in the family. We can only say that maybe a few genes, bad genes run in the family, but I think it's far more a case of bad habits that run in the family. Yeah. And excuses for not picking yourself up and going for a walk and de-stressing yourself, getting some fresh air. All these things add up to your vulnerability towards a stroke. And it's not only the stroke, it's brain damage in general that really concerns me, because you may not get to the point where it's as dramatic as, whoops, you've had a stroke and now you're paralyzed down the one side, or you've turned into a bit of a half foot. You're mumbling, you can't remember things, you can't finish tasks. A lot of the symptoms, again, of concussion and strokes, they correspond with what we, our favorite topic today, is dementia and old age, because we're getting there. A lot of them tally with this brain damage. And a healthy, happy brain starts with us having enough nutrients to make sure that the brain is well fed, and that the blood-brain barrier, the membrane that stops all the toxins from getting in there, is intact. And one of our worst enemies, as far as a leaky brain, what we call it, you have a leaky gut, or you could also get a leaky brain. And that's from all these Wi-Fi gadgets that we have in our homes, and especially the ones that we hold up against our ear. When a child holds a cell phone against their ear, they are irradiating themselves. They are opening up the blood-brain barrier. Then toxins, and especially things like your MSG and the nasty chemicals that overexcite the brain, they actually get inside the brain. Because normally they're not there. The body is very careful about the way it communicates between the neural synapses. And the brain, any brain you cut open and have a look at, does not have glutamate or MSG in it in that form. It only has glutamine. But the glutamate comes into the brain if it is leaky. If the membrane has been pushed open because they're sitting under cell phone towers and they're listening to YouTube all afternoon, their brain's not healthy. Mm-hmm. So we have to try and encourage ourselves and children to put the gadgets away, go outside, have some fresh air.
Yes.
And eat healthy food.
And eat healthy food, especially a vitamin B6.
The vitamin B6 is crucial. All the B vitamins play a role in brain health and the nervous system. And I only found out recently that the difference between Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease is, Parkinson's disease is a deficiency of vitamin B6 mainly.
Okay.
So the conversion of the levodopa to dopamine to get things moving. Well, Alzheimer's disease relies on the neural transmission based on acetylcholine. What we get from lecithin,
okay.
But it will not convert into the acetylcholine that the body needs unless we've got enough vitamin B5.
Oh, okay.
So there you've got a difference. What's the difference between vitamin B5 and vitamin B6? Well, what's the difference between Alzheimer's and Parkinson's?
Okay.
Basic nutrients, yes. And doctors will not attend to those. They will not shove the patient full of packets of vitamins and the omega-3 oils and the coenzyme Q10 that they need so desperately. They're going to give you a drug as best they can to keep the blood flowing, to take the inflammation down. You probably also get all your extra anti-inflammatories and anti-diabetic drugs and all the rest. And before you know it, the one drug is deficiencies. They're not going to change your lifestyle. They're not going to give you fresh air. They're not going to cook your vegetables for you.
So what food would you say vitamin B5 and B6? What are the general...
The natural sources.
Yeah, the natural sources.
There isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
There honestly is not enough to target it in a clean, concise way. Coming in with food or the groups of other, often anti-nutrients, because the B6 and the B5, you can get them in your eggs and your poultry and your fish and your grains. And we always, ask any nutritionist, and they will list all the foods that contain them. But there is no guarantee that you're going to get them. It's like saying, what foods are rich in iron? Oh, prunes are, and raisins, and beef, and liver. But if you've got a lot of calcium that you're eating at the same time, suddenly you're having it with cheese and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Out goes the B vitamin. So I wouldn't mess around with, if someone has to have those vitamins and it's vital to the brain, I would rather suggest you look at a good brand of vitamin that is on time release. you know, they sandwich the different layers that they dip. So if you take a time-released, and VitaForce is one of those, I'm not sure that the ones that Clicks and Pick and Pay copy also are time-released. But I have to mention brands here because there are very few that are reliable. And you'll be able to tell because vitamin B2 stains your urine bright yellow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking a vitamin B complex in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and your urine is bright yellow, and by the afternoon it's snow white, then it's not a time-release vitamin.
Okay.
The other thing you can do if you're not sure is just break it in half.
Yes.
So you have half in the morning and half when you get home, or half, put half a tablet in your lunchbox. Yes, Suleika is going to do that. But you try and get the most out of your vitamins and do back them up with the anti-inflammatory oil. So, again, what's the difference between an omega-3 oil and an omega-6 oil?
Yeah.
The one promotes inflammation and the other doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And by now we all know that the omega-3 oil is more expensive, and it's fish oil, and it tastes awful, and we all have to get more of it. But there are tremendous advantages to doing so.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say there's an ABC about preventing strokes. And also what we can do is try not to fall and hit our heads, or hit other people over the head, or box, punch them, or kick them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody falls down, they may not think it's anything. You know, they might laugh and just get up and wash their face and get on with life. But a day or two later, they might start acting strangely. Now, it's not as if they've had a stroke, but they have had brain damage. And once within in the brain, if a cell dies inside the brain, it releases again the toxic forms of glutamine. And those spill over to the next cell, and it's like a domino effect, and it starts eating up bits of the brain. And it could be as a result of a fall that you've had. It could also be as a result of the pressure burst in the brain or the stroke. But when one nerve cell dies in the brain, there's no guarantee that the one next to it and the one next to it and the one next to it isn't going to start dying. And that's where you need to get to hospital. You need to get the CAT scans done, and you have to see if there has been damage like that. I'm not quite sure how they fix it.
Yeah.
But it is scary. It is scary. I think we just have to rely on protection most of the time. That we're all walking around and we don't have strokes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Always interesting to this thing. I think sometimes they do give us on the website that you recommended some tips on preventing falls. And for adults in the house, they suggest you install handrails in the bathrooms and put a non-slip mat in the bathtub or shower.
That's basic stuff, you know.
Yeah.
My guests have had very bad falls.
Yes.
It's basic stuff. It's logical. And
it's logical, yes.
It's repeating many, many times over.
Yeah.
Also, shoes that fit you properly. Just children, if you're too smart and you buy the shoes a few times, few sizes bigger for them to save money so they grow into them.
Mm-hmm.
They can fall very easily. The shoes
protrude
too much in the front.
And
basic like that.
And it also says get regular vision checkups. How would that, is that going to check your pressure?
Well, for falling, it does, because you might be taking a step when there isn't a step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might be seeing the step when it's not there, or it might be there and you don't see it.
Okay.
You know, on the trains in Britain, they always say, "Mind the gap, mind the gap."
Yes.
People may not be able to see the gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also we need to be more considerate towards people who may be shuffling along and just see that they get across the road and up the pavement and onto the bus and onto the train. I think we can do a lot in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I remember helping a lady across the street and overseas and missing a bus to the airport and missing the aeroplane.
Okay. It was a very expensive good deed. Yes. Sue, thank you very much. Until we chat again, very interesting, very informative, and I'm sure the listeners will be able to benefit.
Thanks for the privilege of sharing, and people, please have a look at the notes to this talk. Have a look at the book on the Healthy Happy Heart. Something you need in every home, and it will help you to prevent not only strokes but a heart attack and a whole lot more.
This and other talks are on the website. Sue's website is www.naturefresh.co.za. Thanks, Sue, and bye.
Thank you.